Hello, everybody. Welcome to a very special episode of Nitro Beard. Well, we're going to call this one, what was it, George? What are we going to call it?
It was Marvelcraft.
Marvelcraft, that's right. That's right. It's a very special time to be a gamer, especially if you're a fan of two games in particular. One being Marvel vs. Capcom 3, which came out yesterday, hot off the presses, as it were. And then StarCraft 2. And that one may seem like kind of an odd choice, but it'll all come together. It'll all... I'm about to make another Battlestar reference.
Oh, God. Go ahead. It's okay. Brian's not here to hurt you.
That's true. It will... You know, it's all happened before, and it will all happen again.
Oh, yeah.
So here we are. I'm joined by Mr...
We can't leave the island, either. Throw them all in now while we can.
Yeah, the island. Let's see. I haven't started Babylon 5 yet. I have it sitting right here, but apparently some shit goes down in that. But yeah, I'm here with George Cavalines. It's been a while since you've been on, sir. You have a few projects.
Oh,
yeah, you few projects you're working on. You want to plug those real quick at the top of the cast?
Well, right now, pretty much the only main thing I'm working on is Mato Remrit, which is a Dwarf Fortress illustrated story that you can read at bravemule.com. And that's pretty much just a diary sort of thing of these dwarves doing some batshit stuff, which they will in Dwarf Fortress, which is incomprehensible to me, but thankfully it's presented in a way that is accessible even to someone who has no idea how Dwarf Fortress works, like myself.
Like, I've heard Dwarf Fortress, but I've never really dabbled in it until I started reading Mattal Remrit, and then I kind of expanded upon, you know, my horizons, as it were. I was like, I want to see what this is about, and it's kind of over my head. But
I saw what Kevin was doing. He was describing stuff to me, and I'm like, oh yeah, Dwarf Fortress is kick ass. I'm gonna try this. And I looked at like one screenshot with like nothing added on or anything,
right?
And it was just this like mess of characters, like the Matrix. I was like, I cannot understand this at all. I'm just gonna go ahead and keep getting secondhand stories,
right? That's so like, and that's a testament to what both of you guys are doing, because you guys build this, it almost seems like a sandbox game or something, like all these different AIs are doing this, and like this guy said that, you know, so you're giving these personalities, and it's something that whenever you look at the screen, you're like, how on earth did these two come up with this profound, like, you know, this amazing storytelling from, like...
Yeah, he tells me what stuff is doing, and I just bounce ideas off him based on what he tells me filtered through a lens of shit I can understand. Right. I'm like, oh yeah, that's cool.
It's like big,
look at the screenshot, and I'm like,
like, I'm gonna carve the cat's picture in, alright, that's fine. Like, you know, like... That's...
Oddly enough, that is the most popular Mato Remrit picture thus far.
Really?
That took me like 20 friggin' minutes.
Exactly.
And it is the most popular one.
Dude, quick shout out for art school students. We both been through kind of formal training art class, like art school type stuff for a few years. And that's kind of a trend that I've noticed.
It's like
the paintings I couldn't give a shit about that I did in the last 2 hours right before class, and I was, you know, hungover. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do a watercolor painting and tell them it means we should all be liberals. Or something, you know, you just make up some BS and profound, and people want to buy it off of you the moment you bring it in the room.
Oh, yeah, I have no goddamn idea how that works.
It's so bizarre. We're probably our own worst critic or something. I think there's something about
that. We should probably talk about video games.
Yes, we're talking about Mattal Remrit, and I don't know,
I guess it is a video game, so let's just keep on talking about that. So dwarves are like these tiny dudes, like tiny humans, but they're really chubby.
So many beards.
And hella hard to draw, like with those, like... proportions. They're really weird.
That's actually true, because the faces are really wide, and that would just mess
with me. Yeah. I end up like drawing like a regular person. I'm like, one time I sent this picture that I didn't even notice it looked like a regular person to Kev, and he was like, dude, this is weirding me out. You gotta change this.
He was offended. He's like, get that shit out of my inbox. What is
comfortable with this lack of dwarfism in this dwarf? It's like her neck actually exists. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry.
I'll never do it again.
Go push your head like a turtle pulling.
Oh man. Oh, that's fantastic. But yeah, definitely check out bravemule.com. I know Something Awful loves it, Penny Arcade loves it. You guys are officially internet famous, which is
I guess so. On Kotaku. Hell yeah.
Kotaku, that's right. But yeah, we are here to discuss primarily Marvel vs. Capcom. And we'll just give a kind of a brief rundown of what our experience with the franchise has been. When did you start being a Marvel fan?
I liked Marvel vs. Capcom 2 in the sense that, like, I had mostly just played it single player and was like, yeah, I'm going to have Wolverine and this, you know, dream team of people just smack some stuff.
Right.
And anytime I actually tried to play with someone, I just had an aneurysm and fell over on the floor and had a seizure. But yeah, I really didn't try to take it seriously, Marvel 2, but I'm trying to with 3, and it is so much more accessible. Holy crap.
Really?
I actually understand what's going on. It's amazing.
That's kind of mind-blowing, because yeah, I was the same way. I love the spectacle of Marvel vs. Capcom 2, and I saw these people do like 90 and 100 hit combos.
Oh,
man, that's amazing. And I guess the first time I played it was on PlayStation 2, and the way that was set up is like the top, the trigger buttons were specials.
Yeah.
So literally all I saw people in the dorm room or whatever were they would just keep smashing on the trigger buttons, like not even a single kick or a punch or anything. It was just special after special.
Oh,
I was like, fuck this game. I was like, what is this? What's going on? But it looked cool. It was just impossible to play against people like that.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, with Marvel vs. Capcom 3, like, I guess since it has a roster I'm more familiar with. I mean, it sounds dumb, but, you know, it has, like, Dante and, what? How do you pronounce it? Amoretsu? Or from...
Oh, shit.
Okami?
Yeah, I have to check on that.
Can't think of his, doggy name. But yeah, like...
I think it's Amoroth's or something?
Something like that. I know we'll get a bunch of hate mail about it, but,
Just call her Annie.
Yeah, that's true. It has that, and like, She-Hulk.
I think it's Amaterasu, I think. Probably with a bit more accent to make it sound legit, but I'll just call her Annie.
Full on. But yeah, it's one of those that I'm very intrigued by it. The only reason I don't have it yet is because I still have Super Street Fighter 4, like, right next to me right now. You know what I mean?
That is my thing. Like, I tried to get into Super Street Fighter 4, and, like, everything was, like... It's this weird bridge. Like, I watched, you know, high-level play, and I'm like, these people are zooming around, and I'm like, oh, hell yeah. I'm going to play this game, and I'm going to learn this shit. And then I open up the game, and I'm moving at this sluggish pace.
Right.
I'm like, what the hell? I'm, like, playing through molasses. Like, how do these guys do this? And I feel like there's this huge disconnect.
By what you're seeing.
Yeah. I don't know. I just couldn't do it. And, like, the whole frame – I feel like frame counting is more important there. And the whole kicks and punches being separate, like, I'm sorry, I'm for fighting game just straight up mentally challenged. Right. Like, when there's too many buttons, I'm like, okay, I give up. Like, that's it. I'm done.
Just throw in the towel. That's kind of how I am. Like, I can definitely appreciate the finesse of Super Street Fighter 4. Like, you know, because you have to be on your A game 100% of the time. And, like, not only, you know, people talk about, like, in Street Fighter history or whatever, that Dago versus, who the hell was it? The Ken versus Chun-Li?
Oh, yeah, that match with the whole, like, 20 parries in a row.
Yeah, where he has to manually do each one. And then something blew my mind, and I think it was Seth from Capcom, what he said, I think it was on, like, a podcast or, like, a Giant Bomb thing or something. He was like, the mind-blowing thing about that clip is not the fact that he parried every single hit. It's the fact that he set him up so he did his special so he could parry every hit. And I was like, oh, fuck. Like, my world, it was like Inception. Like, I went another layer deep.
You know, oh, yeah.
Like, because, I mean, you're telling me this dude's so badass at this game, he knew that if he stepped forward a little bit, he would cause the other person to do their special so he could parry every hit. That's unreal. Like, that's on a different level.
Those dudes are nuts.
And it seems like Marvel vs. Capcom has that type of energy, but even for people like me, that I wouldn't even know, like, what character to pick first. You know what I mean? Like, I would turn on the game, and I'd be like, oh, I got a title, haha, go online, and then just get destroyed. And, I mean, it seems, it's almost intimidating, but then by watching it, it's like, well, it seems everyone can do these crazy 40-hit combos.
Oh, yeah.
So,
That's one thing I love. Like, they, first off, one of the whole things, they kind of dumbed it down a bit, which people are, you know, complaining about.
Right.
But I feel like it makes it more accessible to new people while also making it just as complex for high-level people. I mean, I know it's only, like, 2 days old, but given that people have been playing it at tournaments and stuff, like, you know, like Marn and Justin Wong and stuff, and they're not completely rejecting it, I think Justin Wong is talking some smack about it, but he's still like, yeah, I like it. It's just, you know, blah, 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 and I think he's just in love with Marvel 2.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they're saying, like, yeah, it's cool game. So I'm assuming that high-level play is still as complex.
That it's still viable. And then even whenever you have the top tier, like those guys are the best on earth. Whenever they still say, yeah, there's a solid game here, that means people like us, you know, maybe like a not quite as experienced, we still have so much to learn about it. You know, I mean, these guys, that's their job. They make their money playing tournaments. And, you know, if they still find it valid, then it's exciting, you know, because there's a lot for us to sink teeth into.
Yeah.
But, I'm just really excited to pick it up, but I need you to, like, with the accessibility stuff, you're slowly convincing me, but, like what I said before we started recording, on Twitter, I just put that I either want to get this with my trade-ins, you know, my Marvel vs. Capcom 3, because I have a fight stick and everything and all excited about it, or I have to get the new Pokemon.
Man, Marvel, come on.
The Pokemon, it's all new Pokemon.
It ain't even a choice. It's all new Marvel, too. It's Marvel, baby.
It is Pringles. That is.
Oh, hell yeah.
It is the most Pringles.
Definitely. And plus, you can play with me. I mean, what the hell? Like, that's basically the highest honor a man can have in his life.
I would just brag that I played with artists from Mattel Rembrandt.
Hell yeah.
I'd be like, oh, shit.
Get a special title for that.
Yeah, that'd be amazing. Oh, can you imagine? Like, what would you paint? Okay, let's put it this way. What would you paint if you had your own little title card, like little achievement card? Like, what would it be?
Oh, God. I don't know. Balls, I guess.
Just big cock. Here you go. Big cack.
I don't know. Probably like a little, like, puppy or something. Like, I would just panic and be like, no, it's woofs. It's a woofer.
It's a big woofer.
Yeah, it barks. Arf, arf.
You get the achievement by missing. Like, you, like you're whiffing, but it's woofing. Okay, and... I was reading this on NeoGAF, because I always thought the Pringles thing was funny, but I never knew what it meant. Like, I never knew why he screamed Pringles, and there's two different things I got. There's two different, like, because there's conflicting arguments.
And is this, like, the fucking Jersey Devil, like,
yeah, this is like, are there 152 episodes of Star Trek, or 153? It's like that type of argument, but it's, oh, God, it's, okay, one was, like, the combo kept going, so, like, the combo in the video kept going, so it was, like, once you pop, the fun don't stop, right? So that's Pringles, but also, I heard it was, like, chip damage that he was doing.
Oh.
See what I mean? Like, so I don't know which one to believe.
I don't know. Maybe it's better that you don't have an answer.
It's, like,
just let the mystery keep going,
it's
man.
Lost.
It's just Pringles.
Oh man, so Pringles. This is the Pringles cast right now. We're talking about sour cream and onion are the best Pringles.
I don't know, man. I love me some barbecue.
I haven't had barbecue in a long time.
I love barbecue anything.
But now they're doing all this weird shit with like pizza Pringles.
No, I reject anything that is a food inside a chip.
It's like
that is like I realize it's a marvel of science, and I realize that it does taste exactly like it's supposed to. Mm-hmm. But that is so. It makes me feel awkward inside.
You're training us for the Armageddon.
Yeah, I eat one and I'm just like, okay, I need to go somewhere where I can feel embarrassed alone because this chip has.
Just hide your shame.
It's just put me on the spot. I don't know.
Oh, it's wild. But something that I'm excited about before we start talking about StarCraft is with Marvel, I don't know, man. It feels like if I buy it, I won't be able to dedicate the time I need to it. You know what I mean? Because...
Well, the thing, like, what I was about to say before, the thing is, like, with, you know, Street Fighter 4, if you go, I want to learn this character, you gotta, like, fucking reinvent everything you know about whatever the game was.
Right.
And dedicate yourself to knowing what the hell this character does. In Marvel 3, they have, like, one of the things they introduced that people were kind of bitching about, but I think it's cool, is they have, like, a dedicated launch button. And you can every single person you pick up, even though they have different nuances and like varying different styles, like hugely. Mm-hmm. If you know like the one combo which is like medium light heavy, then pop them up and follow up into the air and medium light heavy again, you know at least one like 20 hit combo you can do as any dude in the entire game, and just like roll off that.
Wow!
So you can try people without knowing much about them,
right,
and still manage to poke through their dude.
That's pretty enticing, because, and it sounds weird, and I'll probably get so many flames from this, but I think the one game, whenever I was looking at it, that I could compare it to, you know, besides Marvel vs. Capcom 2, was actually Super Smash Bros. And I know that seems insane, because, you know, people make that argument all the time that Super Smash isn't even a fighting game, which I can see both sides of it, but...
Oh, yeah, it's... I don't know, it's a party fighting game.
But, yeah, that's what this seems like. This seems like it's so much more spectacle. Like, this seems even more so than, like, Tatsunoko versus Capcom. And I know there's has to be base key mechanics that you have to learn here, but there's just something appealing about being able to not have any... You know, I'm terrible at Marvel versus Capcom 2. Terrible at it. But it feels like I can pick up, even just by watching videos, Marvel versus Capcom 3, and at least be able to enjoy it.
Yeah, that's what I love. Like, if I pick a character, if I hit launch, they launch. If I do a Hadouken move, they'll do something. I'm not sure what they'll do, but something will happen.
You'll get a response.
And they have, like, the same... They have, like, you know, their own special stuff as far as, like, the more advanced moves, but everyone has a Hadouken, everyone has a quarter circle back, everyone has the same launch, etc. So there's very much a thing you can learn about the core mechanics of the game and then bring that to every single character you try, which is really, really awesome.
That sounds cool, and it seems like once you start learning the basic fundamentals of, okay, here's how the base mechanics of the game works, it seems like, you know, riding a bike, you'll never forget it.
Oh, yeah.
So even if you come back, you set the game down for a few months and come back to it, you know, you'll just be able to pick it up, and after a few practice matches, you'll be like, oh, yeah, and then just be able to rattle off those 70-hit combos again.
Yeah, exactly.
Which seems pretty rad. Like, that is one of those things, because don't you ever, like, I know Rock Band did this, this type of experience to where you're over at a party or you're over with a big gathering and someone's playing a game, and then people are watching it and stuff, and they're like, hey, haha, George, you should come play. They're playing this crazy fighting game. And then you walk over, and then, you know, they're like, oh, man, what's up? Have you played before? And you'd be like, I dabble. And, you know, if you grab the controller and just destroy that room, and people look at you like you're a god. Like, that's...
Man. I tried to do that with Street Fighter 4, actually, because I was like, I had Super at home, and I was like, yeah, I know a few combos.
Right.
And then my friend, my cousin was playing, our cousin's fiance, I think, and I sat down, like, yeah. And then he just, like, Hadouken spammed me to death, and I was like, I am so ashamed. Right now, I'm just going to go lie down somewhere.
That is the only bad thing about it.
My thumb.
Like, that's the only bad thing about it, is since it is more accessible, you will run into things where you have all this training and stuff like that. But, you know, sometimes the odds are against you, even if someone's, like, hitting A over and over or something, even if that does nothing but jump. That way you can never connect a move, and then you're like, oh, fuck. Like, you have to just pick your mind, and you have to think backwards again. But, But yeah, see, I'm so excited. I guess I don't know if I should pull the trigger on it.
Do it.
Oh, it sounds so good.
Pre-pressure.
Okay, the one thing I do want to bring up right now is, doesn't it have some weird stuff, like, stripped from it, like spectator mode? And
yeah, spectator mode is not, and they say it's coming. I don't know when or in what fashion. They might DLC it, which would be the most bullshit thing
that would
in the
be pretty
world.
Rough. Yeah, that'd be kind of bad.
But I would buy it anyway because I'm a little corporate bitch. But, like, I've only played one-on-one so far, so I haven't experienced it yet, but I hear that all you see is life bars that go down.
Yeah, it was funny. Lance.
That is messed up.
Lance over on theplatformers.net, he was like, I have an idea for you Nitro Beer guys. And I definitely want to give him all the credit for this, because this is a brilliant idea. Like, he wanted us to, like, get a copy of the game and just go in and be spectators on the life bars. Be like announcers. And completely, like, oh, fuck! Like, you know, like, just go,
like,
crazy.
Oh, man, that combo must have been awesome.
It's like, oh, shit, and just start making up words about it. Like, oh, man, that Kia Sophia.
Fucking uncanny chip damage.
Cannot believe all that fucking Domino's pepperoni. Like, just start making shit up and see... See what happens. I'm like, I bet you could find some fun in it. Like, put down your fake virtual money. Like, okay, who's gonna win this match? And then just, like, watch life bars go down.
I have something to do at least. At least the games would be quick because it's, you know, Marvel and stuff. But still, no spectator is, especially in Marvel, because that's definitely a game you want to see people do, because that's just as fun as playing it.
Right, exactly. And, like,
even if you don't, like, enjoy watching competitive stuff or something, you enjoy the flashy, random cartoon shit of Marvel.
Yeah, exactly. I was showing my girlfriend, because I have my trade-ins ready, like, they're sitting beside me, because I was going to go tonight. And I was like, well, I work tomorrow, and my job's literally next door to GameStop, so I could just do it after I get off tomorrow, because I have the following day off, so I can, like, really dig in. But I was watching, like, hype videos for it. I guess there's one called A Decade in the Making.
Oh, yeah.
They're talking about, like, this is the most wild shit. And then, like, you see these crazy combos. Like, absurd. And she was like, what is that? And I was like, yeah, this is Marvel. And she's like, yeah, that looks insane. And I was like, I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing, but I'll roll with it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just fun to watch. And, like, I really hope I get to the point where I can pull off those combos. But right now I'm just – but that's also, like, I'm playing online, and I'm, like, I don't know, 8 and, like, 3, just understanding, like, the basic stuff. So you can win knowing the very, very simple combos and the fundamentals of the game.
That's what I'm kind of worried about is because
like, when I got on StarCraft 2 – you know, for example, when we go into that,
yeah.
My first game was straight up prison style, like that.
Yeah,
that was wrong. It took me about 20 games before I realized what I should do in some circumstance. And then I watched Day 9 for about 3 weeks, and I was like, okay, I got this now.
You're still ranked gold, man. You're still ranked like.
Oh, dude, I played like yesterday. I have forgotten because I haven't played in like 6 months. I didn't know anything.
Right.
And I'm only gold because there's no decay in the ladder. That's it.
Oh, yeah. They can't strip you of a rank until you play a few games. Yeah. Because that's what I've actually heard. Like, a lot of my friends on my friends list, they're all ranked diamond, but their last game was 20 weeks ago or something. And I was like, oh, well. There's something – this could kind of be a good segue is there's a lot that both games have in common. Oddly enough, like – The genres are different and the mentality is different, but they both seem like games to where it's kind of one of those. If the more work you put into it, the more you're going to get out of it.
Yeah. And also another segue for the spectator mode thing. Someone has been making custom maps where you join, like say custom map, like it's like 1v1 Zelnaga caverns. I think it's marked as OBS. And it's like it piles like 14 people into the 1v1 map, and then you opt in for playing or observing. And it's essentially like watching a replay mode, except people are actively playing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's actually like really cool. I've been doing that lately, just hopping on and watching people play. Because you get like diamonds versus bronzes and bronzes versus bronzes, and it's like just everyone mashed together. And it's actually really fun to watch.
That sounds really exciting. Because, I mean, that has that same energy as like watching a live stream with a bunch of people, like seeing what happens and...
The problem, only problem is when you get like two bronzes together and they turtle for like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
But thankfully, as an observer, you can, if the game is boring enough, you can actually vote as a majority to end the game early and just be like, okay, we're done with this.
Oh shit!
Now.
Oh, that's awesome. Who wins? Like, does it come out to be a tie or is it a?
It's just a round robin sort of thing. Like, so if you win, you just keep playing until you lose, and then the next person keeps playing until they lose, etc.
That sounds pretty good.
It just ends whenever people quit.
Right.
And observers can have their own critters on the map, so you can dance around or block someone's ramp and stuff and just be a general douchebag.
Amazing. But, I don't know what it is, but both of these games kind of scratch that itch for me. You know what I mean? Like, there's a...
Oh, StarCraft 2 is nuts.
Yeah, StarCraft 2. I'm playing more and more, and I've been practicing with, like, some Masters League guys and...
Have you heard about the Archon toilet?
Yeah, oh yeah, and I've seen it in action. I actually watched it happen live yesterday.
Oh man, shit.
Yeah, Jeff Robinson, in Control. He plays for Evil Geniuses. There we go. He plays for the Evil Geniuses team, and he does a live stream every day, and he live streams for like 5 hours at a time. So, really? So what you do is you'll watch the stream, and one, he's hilarious. But two, what he does is he actually coaches people. So they pay, and this sounds bizarre because I think you can actually do this for Marvel as well. But like people pay him $100 an hour.
Seriously?
$100 an hour.
Oh, man.
I was like, I'm in the wrong business, dude.
But, seriously.
But, you know, God bless him. If he makes money like that, hell yeah, man. Like, because good. He's ranked number 3 in North America. Dude's sick. Like, he's crazy good. And, you could see him, like, coaching people, and then you hear them over Skype, and like, well, I'm really frustrated about this. And he's like, well, you know, you have to look at it this way. And so you get – it's almost like you get a free lesson, even though you're not playing. You get to watch him and stuff like that. But yeah, like, he streams, and he's he has this, like, sense of excitement. And
yeah.
That same sense of excitement as like some of these pro guys, like what is it, Wednesday Warzone or Monday Warzone or
probably Wednesday because Day 9 has a lot of alliteration things. Like I think it's Monday. Oh shit, what's the one for Monday? Monday's usually when he has like
That's Funday Monday, and then Yeah, yeah, Funday, okay. Monday, and then Newbie Tuesday. I think it's Friends Day Wednesday, where he invites another person on, and he's like, tell us about this build.
That's really cute.
But yeah, he has all sorts of stuff.
For StarCraft 2 people listening that don't know about the amazing Archon toilet, the Mothership and the Archon for the Protoss are considered pretty much the most underpowered units in the entire game because of how absurdly expensive they are and how little they actually put out.
Right.
But the Mothership makes a vortex which sucks every unit, friendly or non-friendly, into it. The Archon has an attack that does splash damage. You put about 12 Archons in front of any army, no matter what size, no matter what units, and when they pop out of the vortex, they just instantly disappear.
Yep.
It is the funniest shit in the entire world.
He did it. He literally did it against another Masters player on the ladder live yesterday.
I think it was... There's someone in the GSL who did it on an actual, like, GSL game. I think it was Squirtle, I think, is the Protoss. It was during the team things, which are... I need to watch those because...
Dude, they're
that
sick.
That sounds like it was straight up, like, Michael Jackson beat it video kind of shit.
It was.
Like, I hear whenever someone wins, they'd go over to the opposite booth and just dance in front of it all cocky.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much. And it's one of those things that over in Korea, you know, everyone's so well-mannered. I mean, the whole thing's just very... You know, any of the GSLs, you see hundreds of games a month, right? But all the people, they'll come out and they'll bow to the audience and then they'll quietly go in. And
I mentioned that to a friend and he... said, like, well, yeah, because most of those people are actually playing against their own teammates. And also, Kesp actually has conduct rules, but apparently this team fight thing was just free-for-all. Like,
it is a grudge match, dude. And, God,
so good.
I kind of want to tell you a spoiler of it, because I don't know how many people are going to watch, but did you hear about what Squirtle did? About, like... Oh, I kind of wanted to...
Was that the one where he, like, almost lost and then went back into the opponent's base?
Yeah, well, not only that, but, like, I can tell you he beat two entire teams by himself.
Oh, yeah.
Dude's fucking sick. Like, and he's a no-name. He was a no-name. He was the newest recruit on this team, and they put him in kind of as... Because the way the format worked, for people that didn't know what this past GSL was, it was a team rank thing. So you have people like Slayer's Boxer, or you have ST July, or you have these big names, but it's their whole team. So, of course, you have these big rock stars as part of the team, but then, you know, or you get like I Am MVP or something, who just won this past year, or this past, February GSL. But the coolest thing was everyone played their no-names. Everyone played like their junior varsity people, so to speak. Like, they put in the young guys, and these guys are amazing. I don't know how these guys aren't like overnight sensations. But yeah, one of these brand new kids double-shotted an entire team. Like, took out 9 people. And all of them are pros. And one of them won last time. So he was like, fuck. And he got destroyed, man. Like... Oh, it was amazing to watch, and it was so funny because all the announcers are just blown away, and they're like, we don't know who this kid is, but he's about to rule the world.
Oh, I need to watch that just because I love whenever someone shows emotion in those things.
Oh, it's so good.
My favorite was when Jinro won with like that crazy-ass Thor build.
Oh, yeah.
And went over to his opponent's booth, and the guy didn't even look at him. He was just like head in his hands, like, how the hell did I lose to this guy? And Jinro just like patted him on the shoulder like, there, buddy.
Oh, yeah, it was, who was it? Yeah, because that was a guy he's been like playing with forever. And
oh, that was so good.
Yeah, I mean, there's all this type of drama, and that same drama is in like Marvel and Street Fighter and stuff like that. So it's kind of cool to see these type of games get more and more hype around them, I guess.
Did you see that Street Fighter Arcade Edition tournament where Martin was just straight up drunk on the stream?
Really?
Oh, dude, it was so good.
You need to leave
he
me
was,
if
like,
they have clips.
He was like all of his drama with someone else. I think it was Justin Wong, maybe? I don't know, but he was like talking about like dropping these like drunk metaphors. And someone had to actually text him, and he was like, okay, I just got texted to say not to air my dirty laundry on a stream. I should probably not do that.
That's so wild.
And the announcer next to him was looking at him like, oh, shit.
That's wild. And see, because I can't tell you with like the Marvel and with Street Fighter stuff, those guys are cold as ice, man. Those guys are legit. Like, they'll
love the drama.
Oh, you could see, like, Dago. And I was telling a friend at work about this. And, like, everyone at my job got Marvel. And they're like, dude, you got to get Marvel. So I'm getting not only peer pressured by yourself and other internet.
How is this a choice?
Like, right, exactly. Like, now I just have to deal with, with the inevitable. But yeah, like Dago will walk in, and it's always, you can tell who the baddest dude in the room is, right? Because during Evo this past year, they would be like, okay, here's so-and-so and so-and-so, and they walk up there with their fighting stick, but as they're going by, people are like acting like they're the Beatles, and like, sign this, sign my magazine, sign my breasts, sign something.
I don't think I've seen Dago playing forever. Like, is he still playing?
But he seems like he almost seems like Hannibal Lecter or something. He seems like the guy they keep in seclusion until they're like, and then whenever
sure that's the metaphor you wanted, man. That's bringing up some mental images,
right? Oh no, he'll eat people, man. That's what he does.
Oh, dude.
Dago feeds on nubs. But like, they open up his door, right? And then, like, this smoke machine thing comes out, and he, like, floats into the room.
Does it play, like, techno?
Yeah. It has this, like, dubstep in the background. The sickest dubstep plays no matter where he's at. He could be, like, shopping in Walmart.
Oh, man.
And, like, they'll just change it on the overhead. But,
someone, like, bumps into his car, and he just straight up drop kicks him. Person apologizes.
Okay, so random question time. Like, in fighting games, how do you prefer to play? Like, are you a fan of charge characters? Are you a fan of, like, well, I like to kind of, you know, turtle up a little bit? Or, I mean, what's kind of your main strategy that you like?
I pick the fastest character I can, and I rush into someone's face.
I'm rushing.
That is the only way I can operate. Like, if someone's slow and floaty, I'm like, this is bullshit. I can't do this.
Right?
I think that's my problem with, like, Street Fighter. Because, like, when I played BlazBlue, I was trying different characters. And then I got to Taokaka, and she just, like, bounced the hell around the screen. I'm like, yep, I'm staying with you forever.
Done.
Yeah, that's basically how I do it. Like, right now, I'm rocking Amy, Dante, and I'm leaning toward Phoenix for my team, which are all... Well, Phoenix is a bit keep away, but usually when she rocks Dark Phoenix, you're just straight up in someone's face, teabagging them with fireballs. So I'm all about that.
Awesome. You actually mentioned this before the cast, but something, since I don't have the game yet, something I wanted to ask about is, you said the balance was actually pretty good.
Well, keep in mind, it's been out for like a day,
right?
So I have no idea, but so far I've not seen any ridiculously overpowered characters. When I look at streams and stuff, people are obviously using Sentinel and Storm, and they're saying they're overpowered, but I can't tell
right.
if that's just because they carry over what you know from Marvel 2,
yeah.
and they're still really strong characters, so obviously they're going to seem overpowered, or if they're legit, like, out the place. And Dante I've seen a lot of, too, and he seems to be ridiculously good. But generally, like, I've been had my ass kicked by almost anyone, so I don't know.
I've been destroyed by every character, so they're all even.
I'll be like, oh yeah, I just wrecked a Sentinel, and then like Felicia comes out, and she just like ruins my day.
Right.
I'm like, how the hell did that even happen?
And with the game, there's a way that you can kind of build like three teams, right? You can build quick select them.
Yeah, I like that.
So who's in your main? Like, who do you think is kind of the one person you'd stick with, and then their assists, like...
Oh, Amy definitely
really?
Is my number one. I love her so much. She's also very, like, newbie-friendly, because if you hold, like, forward and press hard over and over with her dace, I think it's her dace, but whatever, her first one, the fire one, mm-hmm. it automatically combos with itself, so you can get a few free hits in,
oh, nice.
And then transition into whatever combo you know, and still be cool.
That's awesome. And what, like... I know you said you played some limited time online and stuff like that, but like, do you just try the bum rush tactic? Like, is that what you go in with? You're like, I'm just gonna fucking blitz this shit.
Well, because I'm also getting people who have never played the game before. Period.
Right.
So I'm just like, yeah, I'm gonna be in your face. I'm gonna get a free win.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
There you go. You got
like,
you,
this. Is just
if it's world ranked. Like, that's what I'm learning on the ladder with StarCraft, man. Like, if it's ranked, all bets are off. People are gonna try scandalous shit.
The best thing last night. At least it's probably going to be this way for at least another week, or at least maybe always in the whole like first 10 matches thing. People have like one person they absolutely know. Like this dude with his Wolverine was like the maestro of pain. He was just like ruining me. And then I took out his Wolverine, and Deadpool comes out, and he just jumps and kicks over and over.
Ugh.
And that's it. So I just like, you know, I have Amy and Dante, who I'm pretty familiar with, and having two people apparently puts me above most of the people in my bracket right now. Because once normal people, they put their front character, they're like, yeah, I know these guys' moves. Then once you get past that, they're just hopping over and over.
Oh, right. You would think that you'd want it reversed. You know what I mean?
Well, usually if you know a character well enough, you can end the match with that first person.
Oh, with one person.
And plus with the whole X-Factor thing, even if you don't know someone, if you bring them out last and have a long X-Factor and a lot of hyper bars, you will take down a dude.
Wow. Yeah, I've been reading that X-Factor seems almost, not broken, but...
It's deliberately broken.
Right.
Because you both have one. It changes depending on how many characters you have left, like the duration and the strength of it. It's basically like, I don't know, your last grasp, if your last grasp at hope was summoning a black hole. Like, it's just ridiculous with some characters. Like, they showed off in one of the tournaments I saw that Chun-Li with X-Factor moves like a straight-up fucking Thunderbird just like across the screen, like can't even like see her if you actually know what you're doing. And there's, you know, videos on YouTube you can look up with Dark Phoenix X-Factored.
Mm-hmm.
Will straight up take out a character in a single combo.
Holy crap.
And stuff like that.
That's...
And it's just... Or you want to do, like, Marn Chudov, where if he got off this one combo with Dante and used his X-Factor at the very end of it, he could straight up kill a character. One bar of health all the way gone.
Damn.
And he'd usually do that, like, open up the match with it. Like, he didn't even save X-Factor for the end. He was just like, you know what, I'm going to start with three characters, you're going to start with two if I can land this.
Whoa.
So you can use it however you want.
Yeah, which is, and that's cool. I mean, because what, like, that was my next question. It's one of those that you know, there has to be some strategies. Like, okay, I'm going to lose my first guy, but then my X Factor, whenever I have two characters, will be better that way.
Yeah.
Like, that's where you start getting into head games. Like, you think you're ahead, and then you've just been set up. You've like, this is an ambush. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's my setup right now. Is basically to use Emmy and Dante since I know them. And if they both die, have Phoenix in reserve, so I can just Dark Phoenix and just cheese the hell out of someone.
Cheese! See, it's actually funny you use that, because that's what I was about to, like, I'm going to be playing more StarCraft Ladder, and that shit pisses me off to no end. Like, I know if I play Street Fighter or Marvel Online, yeah, I will rage at some cheese. Like,
oh, you'll get people staying away and just spamming projectiles over and over and over, especially as like Arthur, because he's a little douchebag. But yeah, there's cheese everywhere.
That's, yeah.
The thing I love about StarCraft 2 cheese is, like, sorry, a little coughing fit, I had to mute a second. But if you, it's one of those things where cheese only works if you get a lapse in your, I guess, paranoia that you have to have at the beginning of every StarCraft 2 match. Because, like, if you... Usually I'll go, like, okay, I'm going to scout this place because that's always where a proxy is. I'm going to scout here and here. Then I'm going to go to the base, or vice versa.
Right.
And then the one game I don't is when a dude straight up builds, like, four gateways inside my base in, like, the one corner I couldn't see. But I like that if you actually see it coming, you can defend against almost any type of cheese. It's nothing that's going to guarantee win.
Right, exactly. And, like, with lower levels, the cheese is terrible. Like, they just don't know how to do it right.
Yeah, there was one Reaper Rush I had where the guy just straight up floated his barracks in that base. So I'm like, okay, and I just put, like, two Stalkers beneath it.
Right, exactly. There you go. Like,
just bad.
And, like, and what's exciting to me, I guess, is, yeah, like I said before, like, both games seem like once you have that fundamentals down, then you start building on top of those, and you just get more and more out of the game. Like, because
yeah,
that's what I've been asking around. I'm like, you know, I really want to get out of Bronze League, but I want to do it the right way. I don't want to learn, like, an all-in or, like, two cheese builds and then get my way up to Diamond and then try to learn the game there, because that's the worst. And everyone's like, oh, just fundamentals, fundamentals. Fundamentals will get you out immediately.
Yeah, I mean, I made it sound bad when I said, like, when I first started, I had to watch, like, you know, weeks of Day 9, but that was mostly... Well, first off, the game was constantly changing when I started in beta, so everything I learned, I had to relearn every single week.
Right.
But the thing with, I feel like Marvel 2 also has a thing where you can understand a few things, like, okay, I want three warp gates to start, or I want to memorize this combo.
Yeah.
And people be like, oh, this game is so inaccessible, it's just Zerg Rush, or it's just, you know, Sentinel spam, and like, dude, just, even if you're not good, just like play 20 games, lose 20 games, until those fundamentals that you need to know are things you do either without thinking about it, or you don't panic, or you don't think about it too hard.
Right, exactly. Where,
like,
you just,
I'm thinking about a StarCraft 2 game too hard. Like, I can know, like, okay, I can be building a Robo Bay right now, but I focus on it so much that I'm like, wait, I'm not spending minerals. Wait, I'm not building workers. Wait, I'm not building this.
Yeah, because there's two, it seems like there's, with both of these games, there's two games you're playing. There's the quote-unquote macro game. I mean, that's more of a literal StarCraft term, but there's the macro game of, okay, how do I want my three-fighter composition? Do I want three people that rush really quick, or do I want a more balanced set? Like, because you're going in blind, you don't know who you're playing unless it's like a lobby and you have like you're playing a buddy or something, but you just don't know what to expect. So, okay, and the same thing for StarCraft. Okay, I'm about to hit the find match button. I think I just want to do a three racks, and then as soon as I get my third racks up, if I have the minerals, I want to expand. And so you have these basic ideas that you get until you get in-game, and then you have to change it. So your fundamentals have to be on. They have to be perfect.
That's like okay. There's a lot of people, you know, when StarCraft 2 came out, and I was, you know, talking on platform saying it's, you know, so much more simple than StarCraft 1. And they play one game, they're like, no, it's not. Like, of course it's gonna be your first game. You're gonna get wrecked.
Yeah.
No matter what, you're either gonna be someone who knows just as little as you, in which case you're both gonna be doing stuff you don't understand, and it's gonna hurt no matter which way.
It's gonna be an hour long game.
Or you're gonna go against someone who just bought the game but has played 800 StarCraft 1 matches and it's just like gonna steamroll you.
Yeah. And that actually seems like I know that like with Marvel it's only like a day old or so, but did they use the same matchmaking system that they do with Super Street Fighter 4?
I never played Street Fighter 4 online because I was terrified. So
I played like six matches.
I just hit find rank, and if you win, you get points. If you lose points. So that's all I know. Like it gives me a person, and I beat them because I'm a boss.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I get points, and I leave. That's all I know.
Oh, okay. Because I mean, because apparently with Super Street Fighter 4, it like put you into tiers, I guess. Cause sort of how the
Like you have a ranking, like you're beginner, you're amateur, you're rookie, whatever, and you get points and you move up through the different ranks. But I'm not sure how that evens out eventually.
Right.
Like I haven't read enough about it because it seems like I'm just getting quote unquote experience and leveling up, which seems like it would be a weird system. Like it seems.
Right.
I don't know.
There could be two.
But I'm not sure how it works exactly.
There could be like two rankings behind the scenes, which that's kind of exactly how StarCraft is. You have your world ranking ladder, and you have your point system and your bonus pool and stuff like that. So, oh, I won a game. I got 30 points, but I lost a game, so I lost 9 points. And then you can work your way up your division, but then that's the ranking that doesn't matter. Even though that's the one you see, there's a ranking going on behind the scenes.
Yeah, I think it'll take a few weeks to find out how the matchmaking is. Because right now it's just a scramble of whoever has the game at this exact moment.
Yeah, exactly. And who's online and who's near your area for good latency.
Especially with the whole early release thing.
Yeah.
To kind of make the servers a bit weird as far as like who's been playing or not. I don't know.
But it sounds like this game's definitely going to have legs. Because, I mean, of course, Marvel vs. Capcom 2 did.
Oh, of course.
People are still playing it. I mean, it's released on both PlayStation Network and Xbox 360, so people are like playing it to this day competitively.
Yeah,
but,
I really think it just depends on if they balanced it well enough when people have had weeks and weeks to mess with stuff, or even, I don't know, years, because it takes forever for them to find out what exactly the metagame will end up as.
Yeah.
But hopefully it's well enough that there's at least more than three characters you see online.
Yeah, freaking like Cable and who was it?
It was Magneto, Storm, Sentinel that were the hell combo.
Ugh.
People usually like had, I think Storm and Sentinel were the absolute ones, and sometimes people switched out Magneto for someone else that was equally as bullshit. But yeah, Storm and Sentinel, screw
them. I'm just excited because it seems like now we're definitely in an era not only of DLC, which, you know, not big on DLC, but on constant patching.
I'm hoping, given the fact that they're releasing DLC like this, that they will patch it, because I don't want a whole Super Street Fighter thing where I'm waiting for the next edition, because that's when the balance comes.
Yeah, and whenever we talked about earlier about the spectator mode, man, I'm terrified. I'm going to buy this and then be like, actually, we're doing Super, even though they've never done a Super versus game. They've never done it. That's the only thing that gives me hope that they won't do it this time.
Yeah, I'm just scared about it because of Super. Because I know they need money and everything else for, you know, Street Fighter. And it would be unfair of them to say, like, okay, just release Street Fighter 4 and then just let us have it for a few years.
Yeah.
And then, you know, 5 years ago, 5 years later, then you can release Street Fighter 5. Like, you know, because they need the whole constant stuff. But I would really like if Marvel at least got some patches, because now we're doing DLC characters, not just like costumes or something. As far as I can tell, Super didn't have any DLC characters, just costumes, right? Like it's all cosmetic.
Correct. And I don't know how they're going to do the arcade mode. or the new arcade edition.
I think it's a new release. I think.
Oh wait, no.
I think if people have been saying that it's DLC that you buy, I'm not sure. Which I could also be behind.
Yeah, I mean,
as long as it's cheaper.
Yeah, it's like $10 or $15.
They don't have any need to distribute it. Like, they're not making discs and not making cases.
Exactly.
So just make it like, if it's $20 for a new edition and a few characters and some extra stuff, I'll shell it out if I love the game.
Yeah,
like, that's it.
If you're still playing it, of course. Yeah. I mean, that just makes sense.
However, BlazBlue can go to hell. I was gonna learn that game, and I had the PC edition for like a friend. Let me try it, and I was like, yeah, I like this. And they're like, okay, man, get the PS2 one because that's like, you know, the next step up.
Right.
I'm like, all right. So I bought it. You get it, and there's three new characters on the actual disc. The rest are $8 each DLC.
Oh.
They're on the disc. We need to pay $8 to unlock a single character. For every character in the game comes out to about $46 or $56.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it's kind of ridiculous. So I was like, you know, I like this game, but I'm interested in the Squirrel Girl because she's like a Rushdown character, but I'm $8 interested.
Ugh.
It was just ridiculous. And then they're releasing like another, like their own quote-unquote arcade edition. It's called something else. I think it's called like Season 2 or System 2 or something like that.
Right.
But I'm not sure how they're releasing it, if it's a disc or DLC, and like, I'm just like, okay, this is getting a bit weird.
Yeah, getting a wait and see.
Like, I don't want to commit to this game when I'm going to have to spend a fortune on it if I want to keep up with just the most current version.
Yeah, exactly. And whenever you want to stay competitive, you have to get it. So it's like, I guess it's the same way with how like map packs are for Call of Duty people.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I like my StarCraft. I like it being patched.
I do too. It's nice. We can we can focus like primarily on StarCraft because that's what I've been playing most recently. I play it probably 4 hours every night, but I'm trying to learn, get my fundamentals taken care of. Trying to not even build orders, I guess, but just trying to do the first 7 minutes without getting supply blocked and by getting 4 production buildings.
Well, that's why I like. That's one of the reasons why I play Protoss, because like, when I open the game, I know I'm either 3-gating or 4-gating.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's just like straight up off the bat.
Right.
And I can, you know, work my way up from there, but like, they tell me like Terran is the simplest race to play, or it's so my like, you know, like really pro like Master League friends say.
Mm-hmm.
But when I'm a Terran, I'm like, I don't know what's going on. There's machines everywhere.
Yeah.
Right now.
It's,
and I feel like if a Terran messes up, that they're done.
Oh yeah, exactly.
If messes up, then they have something to fall back on. But I feel like Terran is very perfection-oriented as a race.
I would agree with that, actually, because I main Terran. And I was playing with one of my friends, and he's a diamond level player. And we just did 2v2s versus a hard computer, because I was like, yeah, I don't even know how a 2v2 would be. Like, I'm so used to 1v1s and stuff like that. And we did it, and he was like, oh, I'll teach you how to do a 4-gate, and I'll teach you how to do some warp-ins and stuff like that. And then I didn't know what the hell I was doing, but he was like, oh, man, you're doing amazing. And I was like, I can't tangibly tell you what got me here. Like, I don't know what did I build that said this or this, and how did it teleport over here? Like, it was so disconnected for me because I am used to that Terran way of like, okay, now you build the thing that builds your Marines. Now you can either build something that gives you more stuff, like a Marauders, or you can build a thing that will make you build two things at a time.
Yeah.
So you have that choice to make. You're like, okay, do I want more units or better units?
The thing you need to learn about 2v2s, if you're just getting into them, is that 1v1s don't bring any of that shit into 2v2.
Really?
The way you win is massing T1 units with your friend and taking out one dude immediately. If you're like P&T and you do like a quick rush of like 4 zealots with as many marines as you can muster, you will take out one dude if you just focus on one.
Huh.
And same thing if you're a double Zerg and you both 6-pool, that's a dude gone immediately.
Dang.
Just stuff like that, like 2v2s are cheese hell.
I imagine. But something tells me if you learn to expect it and you can hold off cheese in a 2v2, your 1v1 play would skyrocket.
It gets into it if you survive past that initial rush. But that initial rush is so damn strong.
Right. Yeah, because it's literally double. And
oh, yeah.
Oh,
it's
man.
Ridiculous.
It's
a lot of time. Or you can just do asshole stuff. Like, if my friend and I get double Protoss and we're on a map we don't like, we'll just double cannon rush someone. Just cannon proxy the same guy twice.
Amazing.
Over different sides of his base. rage quit every single time.
I'd be the jerk that just, I play Zerg and build nothing but overlords. Just have overlords, like, not even make an actual combat unit. Just have, like, 500 overlords, and they're like, what's going on? Like, it triple.
You would enjoy playing with Traim. Traim just likes to troll people a lot. He had one 2v2 barn, and we're doing, like, in-house 2v2s, and he just took all his SCVs and went over to his friend's Protoss's base and just kept killing his pylons.
Oh, God.
Just to be a douchebag. Dude was, like, threatening his life
that's
over a
vet. Terrible.
It was fantastic.
Oh, my God. It's terrifying. Oh, man. Like, I think the another topic I wanted to bring up real quick is, and I've talked about this on Nitro Beer before, but I want you to tell me if you have this, is like sort of an innate fear of competition as far as like, okay, now I'm going to go and play ranked games. Now I'm going to go on the ladder. I'm gonna do this. This is going on my permanent career Marvel vs. Capcom 3 record.
I'll have that a lot with like, I won't play any game competitively unless I've played with friends a few times. Like with Marvel 3, mm-hmm. The first night I got it, I played with one friend, then I played with the second friend, then I played with someone from Platinum Next Day, and I'm like, okay, I've won against these people, I can win against some random dude.
Right.
Like that's, yeah, like when I played StarCraft 2, I immediately did like a few ranked matches just for the hell of it, and I got wrecked, so I was like, okay, I'm not going to touch you for like a month.
Mm-hmm.
And I just played my friend who was like Platinum or something, and then when I eventually got near beating him, I was like, okay, I can go.
Yeah.
Back to matchmaking now and do this.
And
just really need to overcome. Because, like, I can't just be one of those dudes that's like, yeah, I just got the game. I'm going to go online right now.
Yeah.
I'm like,
it's
I'm like
bizarre.
That dude who's a stranger is going to laugh at me.
Yeah.
He's gonna go to his friends tomorrow and be like, dude, I met this douchebag on PSN. He thought he could take me in Marvel.
Yeah.
His name's George, probably, but he's an asshole.
And you know it's one of those things, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. No one's going to look.
Oh, no, that dude's not going to remember me at all, but I'll remember it.
Oh, yeah, exactly, like the fear and the nightmares and the – but, yeah, it's like because I was asking around for StarCraft stuff. Like, that's my biggest fear right now. The last ladder game I played was 13 weeks ago, and I'm just training. And every single day I've just been training and training, and they're like, dude, the training won't help until you do it. And yeah. I was like, yeah, that's true, but I was like, what if it doesn't work? And he's like – and one guy was kind of crass about it, but he's like, well, you have 0 points. It's not like you can lose any. And I was like, that's fair. All right, fair enough. But,
well, the thing I like about StarCraft 2, and I guess I like about Marvel also, is that it's very – like when I play League of Legends, like those people will talk some serious smack and stuff, or just talk in general. And for some reason, it helps me when either my opponent sound like, when I play StarCraft 2, I might as well be playing against the AI, or I'm playing against a dude that is such a douchebag that I am totally happy I've Void Rushed him.
Right, exactly.
Like, I have never met a dude online that was wicked nice. Like, after they end up, I've had people that start off wicked nice and I beat them, and then they start being a douchebag immediately.
Yeah.
Like, I have never met a nice dude I haven't known on StarCraft 2, and that makes it way easier to play matchmaking in an odd way.
I heard a good philosophy was play it like you're playing a custom lobby game with a friend that's terrible at the game. No matter what the game is, be like, okay, they invited me and now they want me to show them the ropes, because then you're going to have this sense of confidence that, okay, yeah, let me do what I do. And then you're just going to completely forget that it's someone you've never met before trying to test their skills against yours.
Also, one thing that actually is held true about 99% of the time is StarCraft 2. Like, you know, when you get into a game, you say, like, GLHF, like, immediately.
Yeah.
If the dude tries talking beyond that, the only thing he's trying to do is distract you from the fact that he's proxying you.
Oh, that he's trying to, yeah, or like
every single time the guy has talked past GLHF, I'm like, okay, I'm going to check out Sinai Base.
Right.
And right there is a Rax or a Gateway or something. I'm like, you douchebag. See, assholes, douchebags.
Yep. That's how it goes, man. But yeah, I think you convinced me to get Marvel tomorrow.
Hell yeah, I did.
I'm thinking.
What system are you getting it for?
PS3.
Hell yeah.
Yes, sir.
Gonna rock out.
Yes, sir. That's what I got my fighting stick for, so.
Gonna kick you in the face with my dog.
You what, your fire dog?
Hell yeah.
And I'll shoot it with Wesker.
Oh, man, Wesker is so weird. I tried him because, like, you know, people were saying, like, he's awesome. And then, like, I did a super, and he struck a kung fu pose that did absolutely nothing. I'm like, what the shit just went on? And just people who are mostly human and punch in these games, I'm like, how did you get here?
Right.
Like, I feel so confused. Like, what do I do with you? You don't have missiles. You don't have lasers. You don't have wings. What do you do?
It's like, you're definitely a different... You don't belong in this game. Like.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, I'm...
Or I get someone like Spencer. I was trying out for the first time, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember he has this you know, bionic arm thing that shoots out. Except the only way I knew how to shoot was straight up in the air.
Oh, no.
So, like, somebody's, like, shooting lasers at me. I'm just, like, shooting my arm in the air. I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing.
But it's working.
Oh, so hard. Oh, I didn't know it didn't work at all. I got wrecked. So I'm just sitting in the corner, like, derp, derp, derp. And he's just, like, spamming fireballs. Like, I'm trying to grab you closer to me, but I can't.
Oh, amazing. And, like, did you pick up the strategy guide for it?
Oh, hell no. I have the internet. What are you talking about?
Because I've heard this one.
I got YouTube.
I've heard this was pretty sick, though. I've heard this one.
Well,
like,
yeah, it's probably
a Bible,
I mean, but I have, like, it's Marvel 3, dude. Like, we're gonna have video tutorials and everything you could possibly want in the entire world.
That's true. See, I guess the thing that kind of excites me, and I would be the type that this would excite, is I can't wait to get titles.
That is, I need a title list somewhere. I hope someone puts it online, because I'm farming them, but most of them kind of suck.
Right.
I mean, like, at least for me, because I'm like, what title fits my personality?
Yeah, that's exactly how I am.
I want to, like, basically everything I have online, I wish I can cover it in stickers, like some Lisa Frank stuff.
Like Little Big Planet
just,
mod.
Like, customize it. Yeah, exactly. So right now I have a paw print, and my title is Moody, because I'm just a little bitch like that.
That sounds like a live journal update.
Or there's one that's, like, rage-inducing that I might use. Because I'm wrecking dudes left and right because I'm a boss.
Yes, sir. What is your record? Like 8-3, 8-4?
Yeah, but I mean, again, against people who haven't played the game. But that's my thing. I go into every game like, yeah, I'm going to kick ass.
That's it, man.
So far it's won.
Fake it till you make it.
Exactly.
That's how you got to do it, man.
I'm just like spamming the same button, but I'm like spamming like a boss.
Hitting all them buttons.
Doing some kung fu square.
Your Marvel APM is through the roof.
Hell yeah. That was my problem at first with Dante. Like, I was trying, but I was spamming button too much, so I ended up, like, every time I jumped, I just shot straight down the ground.
Right.
I'm like, okay, I gotta stop panicking so I don't do this and look like an asshole who hates the ground. It's like, screw you, dirt!
Oh, amazing. Yeah.
That's mostly in fighting games. Like, once stuff starts happening, I start panicking, especially if I did something right. I freak out if I do something correct.
Yeah, exactly.
Push buttons everywhere, but, like, I'm slowly working out of that.
Right. I think that's another thing whenever we talked about the fear of online stuff. I guess it's weird to say, but I'm, like, not afraid to lose. I guess I'm afraid to win. You know?
Well, also, like, when you're practicing, that's kind of something you have the least amount of experience getting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, usually if my big thing when I first started StarCraft 2 and I was actually starting to do well was, like, I would win the fight, but, like, sorry, coughing again. I'm sorry. This is, like, the worst sick podcast. But I would, you know, win a fight in the middle, and then I'd go to the guy's base, and I'm like, I can't hit his base, but I won. that fight, so I should end this game right now because
yeah.
I don't know what to do when I win. And I would, you know, rush up into the dude's base, and he would survive that and just steamroll me after that because I was an idiot and wasted my entire army.
Right.
Once I learned to, like, calm down and just be like, okay, I'm winning this match. I have an advantage. I'm just going to stick to what I know. I'm going to, you know, if I am online or something, I'm just going to, like, hang back or I'm going to block or something, just wait for an opportunity. Or from StarCraft 2, I'm like, okay, I'm just going to sit outside his base with my army that wins right now and expand. Mm-hmm. So I have a double army that wins right now.
Exactly. And like, cause...
once I got that down, like, that calm, I started doing so much better in, like, every single game I play.
That because there's a good mentality that they use over in Korea for StarCraft, and it's, if you're ahead, get more ahead.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like, don't try to rush it, because you'll end up making, like, a fool's errand mistake. But, like, that's kind of how I have to play it. I'm thinking I'm going to actually do my first ladder game in 14 weeks tonight, just to kind of get on there. And
nice.
Because it's exciting, but my record in StarCraft is 1 win and 6 losses. Fucking terrible. But,
if you want a 2v2, I'll hop on and we can do some shit.
Oh.
I can show you that one observer map if you want.
Oh, yeah, we could do that. But,
is that like just like, my favorite thing about that is I'll watch for like 2 rounds, and if some dude is the worst dude on earth, I'll start opting in. Mm-hmm. If he's won, I'll be like, yeah, I could take that guy.
Right. You start seeing like things in his play, like, oh, he always gets supply blocked at 20 supply. Like, you start noticing these things, and you're like, oh, I'll mess with him.
Yeah, it's a really good way to just observe stuff.
And
I feel like, but I really do feel like StarCraft 2 gets kind of, or StarCraft in general, or I guess even RTSs in general, because I mean, some are way too complex for me. Like, I feel like Warcraft 3 was impenetrable due to the hero system.
Warcraft 3 was like the perfect or imperfect, however you want to look at it, mix of like Defense of the Ancients and StarCraft. Like, you had to play both games at the same time, which is just unreal to me.
Or even, you know, Marvel or something. When people, you know, they see or they play, you know, 1 to 5 matches, and they're like, these are way too many things and way too many colors. Yeah. I cannot possibly understand this. Meanwhile, if you play 5 more, you're like, okay, this guy does this, this, this.
Right.
And then 5 more, and okay, that guy does this, this, this. And, like, for some reason, people expect these games to be something you pick up and can understand from the first minute onward.
Yeah, because they see other people
do it. It does not work that way.
Yeah, and that's one of those things that there is no... I guess the reason why I love games like this is there is no better feeling. There is no better feeling than being like... than critically thinking and being like, okay, what's this person doing? They're doing this, therefore I have to do this. And then you follow through and you win. Because there is no better feeling, dude. It's like, okay, I have this build order, and they built this because I scouted well, because I did the right thing. That way I was rewarded for it. Like, it's the most satisfying sort of experience, which is why I am excited about Marvel.
Oh, yeah.
Is...
one thing I think StarCraft 2 helped me with was I would watch, say, like, you know, Super Street Fighter 4 streams or something, because I wanted to be like, okay, I'm interested in this game. I want to see how it plays.
Yeah.
And or, you know, Marvel, and I'll be like, I can never, ever pull that stuff off. And I'll be, you know, practicing myself, and I'm like, okay, I can't do cancels, I can't do this. And then, you know, when I play StarCraft 2, I'm like, okay, maybe I can't do the best medevac drops in the entire world, but for where I am, evening out, and I'm imagining it's going to be that way for Marvel 3, like, I'm not going to have to do 900 hit combos. Like, when I even out to whatever my ranking is, it'll just be the basic shit that I'm doing, and other people are doing that too.
Yeah.
And it's okay that I'm at this level where I'm comfortable, and I'm not a super pro.
Yes.
Don't need to do that stuff that intimidates me, but I've learned enough, I'm capable of enough, that I'm still having fun, and I'm still winning.
Right, because the way, yeah, exactly, StarCraft is set up to do a 50% win ratio for everybody. Yeah. Even the best in the world have, like, a 48% win ratio. They lose just as much as they win. And I think it's one of those things that mentally, whenever you realize the fact that losing is actually more important than winning, like, that way you can look back at your failures and – or not failures, because I don't think losing instigates failing, you know. It's just being someone played better than you that one round or that one match or that one, you know, that one game. But, you know, learning from those mistakes and then actually, like, letting it sink in and being like, yeah, I always, you know, whenever people are rushing me or if people start turtling up and I try to rush them and they always counter it, you know, I have to learn not to just get antsy because they're going to expect that, and then they're going to pull out their, you know, 3-person mix-up combo on me.
Yeah.
But, yeah, once you kind of that's where I'm at now, is I've practiced so much on like StarCraft, for instance. I've practiced so much that I'm comfortable in my own skin.
Yeah, precisely. That seems to be the most important thing.
Right. Because I don't want to be at diamond level. Oh, God.
Exactly,
like, I would flip my shit.
Stressful.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they can have it. You know what I mean? Like, I'll be there soon enough. But for right now, man, I gotta learn how to when the proper time to build a Reaper is. You know what I mean? Like, because, there's certain units that just aren't used in the game. Like, I can't tell you the last time I've seen a Raven. You know what I mean?
Like, it's a very iffy thing. But yeah, people, for Stalker 2, they're like, man, I'm not going to learn build orders and stuff. Like, I'm intimidated by the idea of build orders, but they don't understand that, like, the basic build orders are like, I should build a pylon and then I should build a gateway.
Yes, one comes.
It's not like 19 things where you count foods. And that's when you're Korean and you've practiced and you're playing 48 games a day. That's when you know the exact second that you're building these things.
That you can base it off of. Yeah, my racks is 3 seconds to finishing, so then 2 seconds
Those, like, whatever, like, we talk about StarCraft, we watch, StarCraft, we do this, and we understand it, but there's no way in hell we do that, and people have this, like, notion that they would need to learn that in order to be so good at the game that they win a match, and that's just simply not true.
Yeah, and, I mean, it's one of those things that the games are more accessible than people give them credit for, throughout the entire experience, whether it be through single players or online rankings, and that's for both games. Like, it's just an experience that you can jump into and enjoy because the game's going to take care of the rest.
Yeah. I feel like it's, hard because of Marvel 2 and StarCraft 1. StarCraft 1 was ridiculous.
Yeah.
I tried getting into that, and even, when I understood everything, it was very much a game based on, like, the genre had moved so far beyond what StarCraft 1 was at that point that you had to both learn how to operate in, like, 1995 as far as, like, what your buttons will do and the resolution running in. And then you also have to learn the variants, nuances of the game that was kind of buggy as shit in very specific ways that managed to be competitive.
Exactly. And
but StarCraft 2, has all the advances, and you have, like, the different camera options, you have all the hotkey stuff, and people are like, oh, that's so intimidating, I have to learn buttons and I have to do this and that. But then, when you actually try it, it's like, this makes everything so much easier.
Yeah,
you don't have to click everything like you did before. You just hit one and stuff happens.
Yeah, and the game doesn't play itself, but everything's so automated that by 7 minutes you can have, a 70 food army or something. Yeah. You can have some crazy amount of stuff for barely just hitting 4 or 5 buttons on the keyboard.
Yeah, like in StarCraft 1, you had to, like, if you had, say, 5 racks, you had to manually click on every single one, or hotkey every single one. Or you couldn't even hotkey, like, and you had to just click every single one if you wanted to do whatever the hell you wanted, make Marines out of this one.
Right, and there was, like,
StarCraft 2, you double click, you get 5 racks, you hit control 1, and suddenly, bam.
You hit the number 1.
That's
the
racks button.
Yep.
Yeah.
Controls every single one of them. And then, which is nuts. It seems like, hell, in StarCraft 1, they didn't even have an in-game timer. Like, there was no clock. So, people's timings were either based on food or how they felt. Like, well, my second gas is down, so I guess I better, they would know it. They would know it instinctively. And, like, that's exactly how Marvel is. That's exactly, Street Fighter and these other, like, fighting games. Okay, well, this frame is going to, whenever you frame out of this and then he's ducking, he has 2 seconds of whatever. And you're like, that's so far beyond,
Yeah, right now I'm like, okay, that dude hasn't blocked, so I'm going to hit circle. And so far, and I'm not the best online, but I have won a match. And as far as I'm concerned, that's good for a game.
Yeah.
Like, if I can, beat the single player, like, 3 times and then go online and still be winning.
Yeah.
I'm happy. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
If I went online with Marvel 2, no. That's, I would, no.
Yeah, those, they would
wrong.
Tear you apart.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was a good cast. We're about an hour in. So,
Yeah, we'll just keep, we can,
yeah,
we like StarCraft 2.
That's
a lot.
A whole lot. And speaking of, kind of the last thing we'll touch on is the main competitive scene. We've talked about the theory of competition and kind of, okay, are these games applicable to, do they deserve the hype that they're getting? But this one's, we're going to talk about very specific things. On the Marvel side, we can talk about Evolution, which is the yearly big Las Vegas event. And then in StarCraft news, there's going to be an announcement in 4 days, and people have already kind of done context clues, and they figured out that NASL.TV, that website exists and has a countdown. And then, you know, basically, you know, George, you and I watch GOMTV.net, which is the GSL, which is the Korean StarCraft League, but it stands for Global StarCraft League. And then people saw it, and they saw who, you know, bought the web address and everything, and it was Intel. So what people are doing is they're like, oh my god, is this the North American StarCraft League?
Well, also, Hydra is coming permanently back to the U.S. as far as I'm aware.
Yes, he is. He dropped out of GSL, which he hasn't done in 3 years.
He's coming back to America. That America is having, even before this, if it's like a new North America thing, like with MLG and stuff, like there's, you know, an actual StarCraft scene in America. How insane is that?
Yeah, I'm so excited for it too, because the type of players that are now getting famous here in America, one, are really good, but two, are so different than how the game is played in Korea. Because people think, if you got to be good in Korea, you have to have 300 APM, and you have to do this, and then you have to be a pitch-perfect build. But then, like, over on the Nitrobeard archive, like our video archive that we have on our website, I put up some MLG games to where, like, Huck does a mothership rush.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Just bizarre stuff.
That's what I love right now about StarCraft 2 is a developing scene. Like, there's people who have a huge, insane 300 APM micro, and they're, like, you know, selecting each unit to which one they want to shoot. But then there's also the dudes who just expand and have such an economy that they become an unstoppable force.
Right.
And even though their micro is going to be insane, but what they really focus on is just building a base and making it as huge as possible and just crawling across the map until the other person has no place to go.
Which is, yeah, they
I just love the varying play styles. Like, whatever you're strongest in, you can push that in StarCraft 2 and win.
Yeah, and you can find success in it, and good success, like against good players.
Yeah.
And I guess that is really exciting, because yeah, Marvel has that, like, your playstyle is rewarded because your team could take out someone else's team. So you don't have to. People always think, oh well, you know, if I'm not playing Sentinel, I'm playing the game wrong. You know, they have
that's
that
what
weird
I love about when people in like Street Fighter 4, I hate seeing Rufus never matchable, and someone has like a Cammy that they've played 800 games on, or like a Vega or something. I know Vega's still good, but like I see him so rarely that I'm like, yeah, I'm cheering for this person, even though
exactly
like whatever.
That's how I am. I use Sakura almost entirely because of that reason, because she's second from the lowest. Like, only Dan is worse than her in the tier list.
I thought Makoto was pretty terrible too.
I think Makoto's third from the bottom.
Oh god.
Yeah, but I love using Sakura, because whenever I would play online, people are like, huh, Sakura, and they'd have, you know, Sagat. And they'd try to do this, like, Tiger Knee bullshit, and then I would destroy them, because they would not be expecting to lose, so they would.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you can never underestimate an opponent when it comes to a competitive game, because there's probably a reason they picked what they did.
Yeah.
You know?
That's the thing, like, the people are going to say, like, oh, I'm going to see Sentinel and Dante in every single team, but, like, people have to be honest, you're not going to be playing the pro thing where tiers actually matter.
Exactly.
Like, they'll matter to an extent. Like, if you Hadouken spam and you pick someone who can't handle range, like, yeah, you're going to be at a disadvantage.
Right.
But when you start off at Marvel, you can pick whoever the hell you want, and if you develop them, you will take down Sentinel, Dante, and Storm.
Right.
Without even trying, if they just try laser and chip spam.
Mm-hmm. And that's exact advice given, like, by some of the people coaching me at StarCraft, is I was like, okay, so what should I focus on? I know macro, you know, my economy, making sure I don't supply block myself, and making sure I'm always building workers, and then always spending money on units. But what else is there? And then they'd laugh and be like, that's it. Like,
yeah,
that's as long as you do that, you will get up to diamond. Yeah,
that's some like wax on, wax off shit.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't even realize what you're doing until suddenly you're face to face with the blonde asshole kid. You're like, wait,
yeah,
I know exactly what to do. Yeah,
exactly. And like, Mr. Miyagi never taught Daniel-san, you know, how to believe in himself. He taught him how to kick people in the fucking head. You know what I mean? Like, it was a very specific thing he was taught. And once you kind of get that realization of, oh, here's what I can do, and, you know, I know for a fact I'm doing the right thing, even if I lose, I'm still building up my skills. That way, next time I see this guy, I'm going to blow his ass out of the water.
Yeah.
The best feeling ever. It's a very long-term type of gaming, but it's one of those that no wonder these games last for decades and still have fans 10 years later, you know. But yeah, good cast. It was a lot of fun. Yeah,
On the note of specific events, mm-hmm. I believe the GSL is starting up again. It's like Series A and Series CS, I think.
Yeah.
Or Code S and Code A.
Yeah, Code S and Code A.
And Code S is being commented by Tastosis, as usual. Mm-hmm. But Code A is actually going to have new commenters. And I believe one is a lass of Irish descent, as far as I'm told, because the nerds can only talk about, you know, breasts.
Yeah.
Oops. And apparently she's terrible. But that's just... I'm hoping that only makes it funnier, because, like, I remember one MLG, they had some chick on there just to be, like, a cliche chick.
I think that's her.
And she had no idea how StarCraft even worked. Like, she was like, yeah, the Cthulhu is making a Sploggle Black, and it's attacking this Hoojabob.
It's like, oh, man, can you believe how many diamond things that the little one guys are picking? Oh, man. Like,
it's like, oh, yeah, he's building 800 lurkers, and they're like ghosts.
Yeah. But I think it's the same girl.
Oh,
man. I seriously do think it's the same girl.
I hope they let her do the interviews or something, because that would be the best thing in the entire
world. Oh, man. But see, I'm so pumped about the North American StarCraft League, because there's a podcast called State of the Game that if there's like new StarCraft fans that don't know about it, they should definitely search State of the Game right now, because you have like Day9 and JP McDaniel and In Control and Idra and, you know, Noni. You have like these top tier players that just goof off and just talk about, sometimes they talk about balance, but they'll talk about more of the competitive, what is it like being a StarCraft pro? And they're all really hush hush about what it is, but they're like, it's going to change everything. And they're wanting to build that type of hype. Like, they're wanting to be able to be like, okay, not only are we going to be big enough that we could get that Irish girl that doesn't know what she's talking about to cast our games, but we will get Koreans flying over here to be foreigners.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Like, they're serious about it, man. And which is exciting, because I think that could be the game. StarCraft 2 could be the game that we could see on ESPN.
Like, I know it's a nerd thing to do, but, like, you know what? Screw it. I like watching those games happen. I don't think there's any real difference between watching that and football. Maybe that makes me a huge geek.
No.
But I find it way more enjoyable.
Dude, you cannot tell me that fantasy fucking football is not the nerdiest shit on the planet.
Yeah.
Because
what I love. As soon as, like, the StarCraft 2 beta hit, like, people in North America were just on that shit. Like, yeah, we're going to cast this. We're going to make it a thing here.
Yeah.
And it, like, is. You know, Dane Iron, like, Huck and HD and everyone else are just like, yeah, we're going to make this as much as we can, and they're still going, and I have so much respect for that. It's so awesome. I love watching it develop.
They've made it a thing, and it's cool because the game is super young. The game came out, what, like October of last year? Something like that? September, October?
I forget, because I played the beta, so I'm like,
right.
It's
like June. But,
yeah, like the minute I played like 2 minutes of the beta, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to pre-order this so I can.
And it's so wild because if you think of how long Brood War's been out,
oh god,
me and you are kind of in it at the ground level, and everybody playing it right now are in it at the ground level. Like, we've had one major patch that has done balance changes.
Like, did you play StarCraft 1 unpatched?
No.
I did, and then I played it, you know, a few years later, like when I tried getting in, like before StarCraft 2, my friends are like going back to StarCraft 1 a bit, and I started playing the game again. Mm-hmm. Holy shit.
That's a different game. Yeah.
Like, just completely.
That's...
Like, even unpatched Brood War compared to how it is now, like, the changes they went through in that game, like, you always, you know, say, like, Zergrush Key back when that was hell on Earth. Like, that was you win.
Yeah.
And, you know, by the time, I think a year from now, StarCraft 2 is going to look a lot different.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm excited to see where it goes because...
Oh, exactly. Well,
we're both in and everybody playing kind of on a semi-competitive level, you know. Competitive as in I want to do better, but everyone on this kind of ground floor, whenever we see it evolve, the people playing now will just get better because we'll understand why changes were made or what changes were made. But the only thing is, and I think this is just a change in the community, is now you're seeing message board posts, and I bet Marvel will not be different at all. It'll be exactly the same. Message board posts were like, "Dear Blizzard, you guys suck. I want you to patch this to be like this and this."
Oh, of course.
But then if you look at Brood War, that never happened.
People are already bitching about Marvel 3. It's been out one night, and they're like, this is stupid. Sentinel is overpowered. This is just...
Yeah.
It's like, God, dude, like, let it have, like some guy I looked on Game FAQs just as morbid curiosity. He's like, this game sucks. I played it for 10 hours straight, and I got bored. Like, dude.
Like, like, no wonder.
Yeah.
Fucking blitzed it, but...
And it's just, like, filled with posts like this, and I feel bad for, you know, some developers, because that's just a shitstorm on the internet.
And Day 9 has talked about... Don't even think about balance. Like, don't think about balance. Just use what you're given. Just act like Blizzard does not exist.
Yeah.
Just play the game as well as you can, and the rest will take care of itself.
On the other hand, you have League of Legends, which is a balance abortion.
That's what I've heard.
So immediately.
I need to get
that in. Is, if you want an example of a company that has a huge product that is doing the best to make it as bad as it can, despite ridiculous, because since I started, Blizzard has not taken down the fact that they are hiring, and they have hired on, as far as I can tell, people at least one person a month.
Dang.
Probably more than that. Not only that, but they're helping them move across the country to LA to intern. Like, that is not a company that's having problems. That is a company that's making money hand over fist.
Oh yeah.
And yet they're charging like their in-game fun bucks. Everything is getting more expensive. They're giving less rewards per games.
Right.
The balance is only happening every 2 weeks. The patches are almost completely random in terms of what they change. They're only focused on like one or two things per patch. And it's just like...
Oh, with Riot?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just like the way they're handling the game is so absolutely terrible. And I love it. Like, I have fun playing it when it works and when it's going okay. Mm-hmm. But then someone will pick someone like... Right now, as far as, like, you know, Dota goes, you have, you know, say you're doing the Marvel 3 thing, and you think about, you know, the three characters you want to bring out first,
mm-hmm.
and then you have the first guy who is the best type of what he does in the entire game.
Yeah.
And then, you know, whoever else you want after that. And, you know, say you pick an equal person, like you have, you know, two Rushdown characters, he picked the absolute best, and you picked the absolute worst by an obvious stratification, like, one of you is going to win, assuming.
Someone has the upper hand.
Equal ability, and that is how League of Legends is right now. And they, instead of doing broad changes, they'll say, like, we're going to change Rammus this patch. And that means they're changing one hero in those 2 weeks while introducing another hero, because they introduce a new one every 2 weeks.
That seems... The thing that always blew me away...
Hero, like, they have heroes that they released... Like there's one hero they changed literally the night before she was released. She was terrible at launch. They patched her like over the next four patches or something to be eventually balanced. But what if you just waited those 4 weeks and released a completely balanced hero,
right.
had more people working on actual balancing with 35 or something ridiculous amount of champions inside the game right now, and just like I realized with that roster, it's never going to be completely balanced. It's always going to be like a best and a worst.
Right.
But you can get people to the point where someone can pick them and not feel like they're losing the game.
Yeah, before the game even starts.
Yeah.
It seems like with League of Legends, and I have very limited play with it. I'm like a level 6. And I have one ranked game, but I won that one ranked game. So I'm undefeated in League of Legends. I'll take that to the bank. But that seems like a game to where I think Riot doesn't necessarily... They should think backwards. They shouldn't. I don't even think they should worry about upgrading or, you know, buffing or nerfing specific heroes. I think they should change the maps.
I think the map is fine. Like, maybe just add different versions of it.
Right.
Like, make it prettier or not. Like, they're thinking about adding Magma Chamber, which is like, I think it's a 5v5 map, which is just going to be, again, ridiculously imbalanced because it's 5v5 in a game that's supposed to be. Oh, no, right now it is 5v5. It's going to be 6, 7?
Oh, just add
some amount of number above 5.
Right.
That's not going to work because it's balanced for 5v5.
Yes.
Like, even they have a 3v3 right now, and there are only a specific amount of heroes that are viable for that. Like, if you pick a late game hero, like, you need 25 minutes to really come into your own, you lose that map. Like, what you want to do is pick someone who could win at level 1, and then you just steamroll the entire game.
Right. Yeah. And
but, like, for League of Legends, like, you have, like you said, the summoner level. The levels 1 through 30, it takes roughly 100 plus games. That's 100 plus wins, rather, to get to level 30.
Mm-hmm.
Through that game, by the time you hit level 15, everything's changed. You hit 25, everything's changed. You hit 30, everything has changed. There are some heroes that if you see a level 1, you lose. because you have nothing at that level that can really, like, because when you have different points as you get through levels, and you can say, like, I want 5 armor penetration off the back, I want off the bat, I want 5 extra points in health or something like that. And that kind of, the choices you make there can make a hero viable or not,
right,
or can make you able to counter someone in lane or not. And level 1, if you see, like, a Mordekaiser, which is a guy who builds his armor, like, off abilities he uses, mm-hmm, like, that guy, I've never seen him lose in a level 1 game. Like, he would just steamroll the enemy team because they have no way to penetrate armor.
Damn.
They have no way to, you know, go against him in lane. They have nothing to reduce healing.
Yeah.
And they're like, we want to balance the game so it's okay between level 1 and 30. I'm like, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, that's impossible.
It's never going to happen with the way it's stratified. And, you know, they're... And you also have the Dota community, which is a problem in itself. Like, when ranked games first came out, level 20s could play in them. And level 30s were like, this is complete bullshit. We shouldn't have to deal with people who are, you know, played 50 less games than me. And so they eventually made it to level 30 only.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's levels 1 through 29, about 200 games if you have a 50% win-loss ratio before you even get to the real game. And then after that point, you have to go get through the people who just started ranked. So if you're better than them, you're going to be dragged down.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just like, it's this upward climb through, like, a mountain of shit to get to this good game that's at the cap that they don't want you to reach.
It's so bizarre.
They should just, like, if they just, like, worked at, like, StarCraft, where you start with a set amount of points.
Yes.
And you play ranked, and you just went up, and had you at level 30 at the beginning. I don't care if it's 30 things you don't understand. Like, if you have mastery points, you don't know what to do with them. At least you have them right there. There's mm-hmm. no stratification. There's no, like, worrying. Sorry. If this hero is unbalanced at level 1, and then, you know, everything works from there. But
yeah.
It's just on the topic of really bad handling of online and trying to get into a competitive scene when your game is not designed for the competitive scene. Like, they're trying to show it MLG, but it's a joke.
Yeah.
Like, in 5 minutes, you know which team is going to win, and yet, with the way the game is designed, the game goes on for 35 minutes at least.
Whew.
If you play good. Like, at MLG, when they showed it last year, they were turning off the lights and, like, flipping over all the tables, and, like, League of Legends was the last one out. And the guy who was commentating with the League of Legends guy was like, obviously, we're ready to leave, like, 20 minutes ago, but the game is still going due to its nature.
Damn. Yeah.
Like, that's the exact opposite of whatever, you know, Capcom is doing, whatever Blizzard is doing. It's just the wrong competitive idea. If that's a game where you go into ranked and you feel, I'm going to lose. And you're probably right.
Right, where just immediately you're thrown to the wolves.
Yeah, it's just a random dice toss. Like, even, it's very much a game where ranked, you get to see the people your enemy team is picking. Because it's very mm-hmm. much a pick-counter-pick mm-hmm. game.
Right.
But levels 1 through 29, and if you pick normal, like, unranked games, you don't see the enemy team. So you
That's
can be
so
like,
bizarre.
Oh, you can be like, I want to play this guy. And then you go into a game, and 4 people in the enemy team counter you. And it's going to be a not fun game because every team fight, you're going to die immediately.
Yeah.
And maybe you made a bad pick, or maybe you have a good hero that just is bad in one circumstance, and this happened to be 4 of those circumstances at once.
Right.
And that's going to be at least 25 minutes, or at least 20 minutes now because they lowered the surrender time, at least 20 minutes where you're having no fun whatsoever because everyone is just wrecking you.
Oh.
And there's a point where, you know, personal skill comes in, but, you know, a Dota game, that's how many games because there's so much shit.
Yeah, exactly. And then just to get to the level to where that type of discipline matters.
Yeah. Oh, so, I mean, I know what bad online and bad competition is, and I think it's making me appreciate StarCraft 2 and the Marvel stuff more.
Yeah, man. Like, because there's just something about competitive games, and it's just lately that I've been really getting that kind of itch, I want to play something to where I have to actually put forth a lot of effort.
Yeah.
To it, but it's incredibly rewarding. But yeah, it seems like there's a lot of options for people, even if they're not big into Marvel or StarCraft, which is kind of bizarre because why are they this far into our podcast about it? But
yeah, seriously, an hour and a half of like shit you don't care about,
like semantics. But yeah, like it seems like it's more and more.
Hey, Sparkster.
Yo, brother. But yeah, and like, I also wanted to give a shout out to Lighter and Hanku and or Hanku. How would you say it? Hanku. Hanku. I vote we 2v2 those guys. I vote me and you go against Lighter and Okay, we'll make it a Platt grudge match.
I'm going to go ahead and make that a spoiler for you. I could take them both on at once.
Yeah, that's fine. It's okay.
Sorry,
I'll build a lot of medevacs.
I'll teabag you. Right here.
I will build a lot of medevacs. That'll be fun. It'll be good. I can just give me control of your units. I wonder if I could pick up your Protoss units in my medevac.
I don't think so. However, one time I was playing a 2v2. My opponent got completely wiped out in like 1 second. And he was like, dude, just give me control of your air units. I'm like, okay. And I just kept making air units, and I kept focusing on ground units. And the dudes I was facing must have thought I was a god.
Right.
I would be attacking two bases at once, doing like two different micro things at the exact same time. It's like, oh,
that's
yeah.
Unbelievable. I do want to say,
yeah,
for the record, that the bane of my existence right now is Protoss Force Fields.
They're pretty hard.
Oh, they're such an amazing ability.
If you know how to use Force Fields, that immediately changes.
Yes.
So many fights. I forgot how to use it. Like I said, I played for the first time in months. When I used Force Fields, it was embarrassing that people were watching me. So I made them like in this like checkerboard pattern
didn't
do anything, and everything just surrounded me, and I'm just like, yep. And so I just started making Force Fields in random places. I'm like, I'm going to die, so I'm going to make it pretty.
Right, exactly. Because but there seems to be pretty good balance right now in StarCraft.
There is, yeah.
So, yeah, gonna play a little bit of that tonight.
Yeah,
I'll get Marvel tomorrow. I've made up my mind. I'm doing it. I'm doing it, and then we'll...
Yeah, I definitely want to encourage people who are on the fence. Like, I know that was a lot of problem with the Plat thread, that people were saying, like, I'm interested in StarCraft 2, but I'm on the fence. And they play, you know, those five games, and they lose horribly, and like, oh, no, no, it's not for me. Like, if you're interested in it, like, in Marvel or StarCraft 2 or something, these games have come a long way.
Yeah.
Just stick it out for a handful of games, even if you lose. Like, find a friend. That helps so much.
That's true.
Just play a few games, even if you lose. When you go online after a few games, you'll start understanding what people do. And not even, like, you know, a long time. It's not 100 games or something. Like, Marvel 3, flashy as shit. But after a few games, you're like, oh, yeah, that move does this and this. And it's very much a thing you recognize just on sight.
Yeah, exactly. You get comfortable. Yeah.
Yeah. So you have to recognize that everything kind of falls into a few general categories. Even though they do different stuff, it's like, okay, this is, like, you know, you know how a projectile looks.
Yep.
Because you've seen Hadoukens for your entire life. Every move is just like that. Even if it looks flashy or whatever, they do a few basic things. They grapple you, or they do this, or they make force fields, or they do little shields, and every unit will follow those rules. And if you just, you know, stick out for it, you lose, you know, 10 times, you'll get better.
Yeah.
You just have to think about getting better and not be scared of improving just enough and not being pro at the same exact time.
Right, exactly. And it's funny because one of the guys coaching me just said, look, there's only, you know, in StarCraft, look, there's only 14 units they can make ever. Like, they can make combinations of them or whatever, but a pylon is a pylon, and, like, you know, a broodlord is a broodlord, and, like, they're never going to change what they do. So he's like, it sounds
like
you're, you know, you're getting intimidated by your imagination. You're thinking they're going to somehow make this big triumphant thing that's impossible. Like,
yeah,
you'll never get a Colossus that'll take down your Vikings.
Yeah.
You know what
I mean? The first time you get hit with Metalisks, you're like, oh, shit, Metalisks are insane. Then, you know, next, you know, 2 to 5 times, you're like, god damn. And, you know, you'll start making more Marines, then you'll start making some turrets. And then by the 6th time you see Metalisk, you're like, yeah, I know you're coming, and then you're going to take them out.
Yeah, exactly.
And then worry about what's after that.
Yeah, and then that empowers you, and every time you see Metalisks after that, you're just going to laugh to yourself, like, oh, I've done this before. And then you're going to have that sense of confidence that'll just pull you through.
And once that happens, like, people, you know, watch StarCraft games or hear about StarCraft games or whatever and be like, oh, these must be all the stuff you're thinking about constantly. Like, no, like, after you understand what's going on, the game just happens. It's just just as much muscle memory as like Red Dead or like Halo or something. If I can be so, I don't know what to bring up Halo, but it becomes a thing where you just move around and you do what you want to do and you understand what's coming at you, and it's not a complicated,
right?
Or I guess it is complicated, but it's not complicated in that moment.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, because it seems like with all of the games, even Halo, especially on an MLG level, you're not playing the game. You're playing the next moment. What are they going to do next? What should I be looking forward to next? Because you have your fundamentals down so well. I mean, you know how to jump, you know how to like zoom in, you know how to do all this stuff in Halo, but you just know that one of their guys took out your two like rock star teammates, and he likes to flank by going behind. You know, you're thinking about something other than what's actually happening on the screen. And that's the interesting part, you know, because that's where you start getting into mind games and, you know, the metagame. But yeah, like, I totally agree with it sounds like Marvel is very much this way, but even StarCraft, it's a game once you learn how to play, like once you are comfortable with your mouse and your keyboard and setting up your
HUD, happens.
Then
like that's just it. It just happens.
And that's where you get fun, because then you do what you want to do. You get to the point of, okay, well, with Marvel, I know, oh, God, I see another Sentinel. Oh, God, I'm going to lose. Oh, I just can't seem to beat this person, until you do. And then after that, the whole game opens up, and you're like,
oh, yeah.
Oh, I've seen this guy before. What's he going to throw at me? I know all this guy's moves, even if it's a random person you're playing. You know.
Or you get, you know, Zerg Rush, and you're on the defensive, and you're like, oh, shit, oh, shit, oh, shit. Like, at first, like, no, I'm sorry, you're not going to have fun that first game where you get Zerg Rush. You're going to be like, this guy's an asshole, and I hate Zerg Rush.
Yeah, the six Roach Rush.
But then you make, like, you know, two Zealots, and you survive that, and you're like, okay, I know what I'm doing right now. And then you're just going to do something in response. It's never, like, a lot of the whole thing where your first few games in StarCraft is whoever wins the first engagement is going to win the game. That's pretty much
that's
it.
True.
But once you get past that, it's just, you know, it's like, I don't know, chess or something, where just it's an exchange of things.
Yes.
And that becomes a natural exchange, which makes even tight games, or like, you know, games where you lose at first, fun, because you know you can swing it back, and it's not something you're gonna have to try to do really, really hard unless, you know, you get to that level.
Right.
It'll just be something you understand is happening, something you can react to naturally because you've practiced this. And, you know, it sounds intimidating, but this happens and a handful of games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. It happens sooner rather than later, especially if you're serious about improving.
That's, again, a key thing. You don't pick up these games just being like, I'm going to do this. I mean, unless you're going to just play a single player, which I do not recommend doing StarCraft 2 for, but that's another tangent altogether.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'll tell you this on my, just as a side mark, but I was like, okay, you know, I want to get better at the game, but I'm still intimidated to go on the ladder. What am I going to do? So I beat the entire campaign on Brutal.
Yeah, that's...
I would never recommend that. But hey, I got like 1,200 experience points from it, or achievement points, rather. So
that was... Yeah, we should probably, but yeah, just if you like the games, just keep trying them. Like, they'll intimidate you, but not after a few games.
Yeah, they'll click. I mean, you just can't rush it. It's one of those that look forward to losing, because that means you're going to get better. So.
Yeah, and, you know, you will beat a dude. If you lose your first five games online, the sixth game, you'll beat a dude.
Yeah.
Or your seventh game, you'll beat a dude. And then after that, you'll keep doing it in a row.
Yeah.
That's it.
Because that's my thing right now. My main goal for StarCraft is to get my 5-win-in-a-row achievement. Like, I'm going to go for it. I'm like, that's my goal. Once I get past that, the rest is smooth sailing. But, because that's...
And if you play a douchebag that, like, dances in your base, just... remember, you're a better person than him.
Yeah,
and he's probably a douchebag all over his life, and he's going to die unhappy and alone with just some cats he probably doesn't feed.
Right. And he'll be...
masturbatory fluids.
He'll be forever brought.
Like a Casey Green comic right now. Just, the floor shatters, and he falls into this like pile of anime porn DVDs, and then it's just a whole mess. Meanwhile, you're with harps and angels and rich and famous. Absolutely.
And they're bringing you up the ranks. And you get invited into Masters League.
Yes, exactly.
That's how that story ends.
That's exactly how it is when you face a douchebag.
But all right, we're gonna take off here. Maybe play a little StarCraft, all that stuff. But glad you guys stuck with us for about an hour and 30 minutes now.
I like how you said the whole 1v1 thing for talking doesn't lead to rambling, and yet.
Yeah. But at least it was on point. At least it was, we were like, mentioned the words Marvel every once in a while.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That was, I really think we just like StarCraft 2 way too much.
Yeah, it's true, man. I mean, we like it so much we spend money on replays.
I haven't. I leech people's replay accounts. I'm sorry, GSL.
How dare you? I spend money on replays. Like, I'm in that sad state of affairs where I'm like, oh, $10.
I would if it was for like... everything. I don't know. I like spending money just for the team things. I know they were good, but I'm like,
well, it was only $5. And I was like,
oh, yeah, they did lower the price. Okay, yeah.
And I was like, and honestly, dude, that last set, that last 9-game set.
Oh, I got to watch those. I heard they're so good.
Unreal. The best I've ever seen that game played. Just another level entirely. But yeah, we're out. Yeah. It's
thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
I love being on here.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to get you on here.
I'm thinking about StarCraft 2 every single time. I don't think there's been a single podcast. I think that's the reason I was first brought on. Like, I was the only dude in the beta that you knew.
That's right.
Like, yeah. And then ever since then, every single time, I either mention Battlestar Galactica, StarCraft 2, or both.
Or both. And that's like a cocktail for hatred for Brian Bolita.
Oh, yeah.
He just rages at the... He's like, oh, that fucking show. Like,
it's okay. I love making him rage slump.
Rage slump. We talked about, like, God, when was the first time you were on? It was like early 2009, wasn't it?
I don't think it was that early.
It was pretty early, dude. You have to think.
Was it?
We've been doing a podcast since September of 2008.
Oh, man.
Yeah, we're getting old, bro.
It was before Battlestar ended. Because I remember my first thing that I made Brian rage with was asking you which six you would be.
That's true. Or no, it was even before that, because it was during the hiatus of season 4. It was before.
Oh, right, yeah. And then you took, like, then you went in, like, sabbatical / hibernation.
Yeah, because I was without internet for God knows how long, like 4 months, 5 months. It was the worst.
Signals. I'm not sure how you write smoke signals, but you did.
I did. I did it with a pigeon. I used a pigeon's feathers.
Oh, man. Well, I set the pigeon on fire. Gotta end this before PETA starts knocking on the door.
Yeah, exactly. We'll get out of here. But go play competitive games, gang. And we'll be
or
back.
Just watch them. Support the scene, man.
That's right. But go check out like Team Liquid. Go check out ShoryuKen.net. Go check out all sorts of places. Just type that shit into Google and you'll find something. But
doing Marvel 3 streams. I know ShoryuKen has a ridiculously good YouTube guide up for every single character in the game that's released right now that gives you all the ideas, the basics, which has totally helped me, so I'm totally plugging that. And I think it's like the ShoryuKen Hyper Guide or something. You can YouTube search that, and it's really good.
And the game's been out a day, and they have up already.
Well, they probably got a leak.
Yeah, advanced code.
Like, it seemed like every single person went to a mom and pop store and got it 5 days early.
Yeah, take a picture with it.
The most ridiculous thing.
That's how I was with Super Smash. I got it like 3 days early and I was flipping out. But yeah, like competitive gaming is such a good spot right now. It's just fun to be a part of it somewhat. So, but yeah, go play some video games and we will be back soon with another episode of Nitro Beard. Thank you, George Cavalines. Yeah, everyone, go check out BraveMule.com, see his work. Tell Kevin Snow we said hi. And I'm Wes Gardner. We'll be back soon. Peace. And you need to make a Twitter. That way I can...
Oh, fuck that. No.
Yep.
Never.
Doing
I refuse.
Yep.
No.
So we can chat each.
No.
So
no. You can chat on Steam.
Chatty Caddies.
Anywhere else. That's a good place. I have a Facebook. That's as far as I go. Into internet hell.
Nah, dude. Because
if I needed Twitter, I would instantly become a king douchebag. I feel like that. That's like the last step.
Dude, we gotta do it. We're gonna make this happen.
Okay, or not. ever.
We're gonna. Oh, can you imagine?
I like you, but not that much.
It's not you. It's me.
I would say building before I made a Twitter account.
It's the whole. It's not you. It's me.
Yeah.
I don't love you, I love you, but I'm not in love with you.
Yeah, exactly. There's only so far a man can go.
Into the darkest
distance is Twitter.
Right.